Hi, my name is Jeff Pagano, and welcome to Harping on Rugby. Now, we're going to call this an emergency pod because apparently that's what you call it when you do one outside your regular schedule. Normally, we do previews and wraps of Leinster and Ireland matches, but between Saturday and Monday evening, so much happened that we can't really wait to harp on it all. So just some quick intros here. I'm delighted to be joined by Neil Keogh Keegan and Kian Rugby Kino Muller, getting their 80th and 33rd caps, respectively. Welcome to you both, lads.
Wow, you really should know better at this stage, Jeff. My goodness.
Indeed. Okay, listen, let's crack on. And first, while we already had a wrap pod done for the La Rochelle win, you'll find it there, one back in our feed. Mark and Tom did an excellent job as ever with the deep dive. But still, there's no harm squeezing a few more words out of a performance like that. So starting with yourself, Keogh, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I'll be very quick. The lads covered a huge amount and it was great. But I think the thing for me was the aggression that came out. We know the skills there, we know the game plans there and all that sort of stuff, but you look at the run Jordan Larmour's on over the last 3-4 games, he's playing angry. We know the skills there and the beef is there, but he's playing angry. He put in some great hits there against monsters on Saturday. But it was just this kind of, whether it is the South African influence or whether it is just a bit of that stubbornness and annoyance, they were playing angrier than usual. They wasn't letting people come on to us and absorb it with a defensive system. It was, you have to figure out what we're doing. And it was delicious to watch. Really, really enjoyable.
Absolutely was. Kino?
Yeah. Not much to add to that. It was, yeah, offensive defense. You got to love it, really, haven't you? And it was across the board. That tied in with that making shite of every ruck, which worked beautifully as well. Yeah, La Rochelle looked a bit tired in their feet, frankly. Probably could have done with a little bit less peddling the pedalos on the pond down Fota Island. But nonetheless, you know, the result's the result, and onwards and upwards.
Exactly. And of course, the one bit of news we got on Monday, which we usually think is all we get on Monday, was the injury report. And it seemed... It's getting slowly better as we go along. There's that one sort of ambiguous section, the further assessment required. Jimmy O'Brien, Charlie Nate, Gary Ringrose, and Ross Byrne. Obviously, we're assuming none of them will feature on the trip to South Africa anyway. So it's a couple more weeks for them to get back. So fingers crossed on that. Hugo Keenan, not so good. Hip injury, still at him, pulled up in the warm-up as well. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. And, of course, at the bottom, there's James Ryan, Tommy O'Brien, and Alex Soroka still out long-term. So, you know, fingers crossed for them. But anyway, yeah, so that win puts us through to the semifinals, where we'll face the Premiership-leading Northampton Saints. And while we already knew it would be played at Croke Park, what we got seemed to be decent enough news on the pricing front. So that'll really be a day to look forward to, Keno.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not going to lie, I was initially worried about the idea of Croker as a venue for the semi-final. You know, as it happens, it's Northampton coming through, but, you know, they're not, no offence to them at all, not taking anything from them whatsoever as a team, but they're not the box office draw position in the fans' eyes that La Rochelle are and were for the quarterfinals, as evinced by the scenes. Can we call them scenes? I think there were scenes. On Saturday. Like the sheer size of Croke Park, like it's 82,300 versus 51,700. Yeah, we'll have a little bit more time to sell them as well, which is good. But yeah, there's also a fair bit of excitement generating over it being there. You know, it's a bit different. There's a novelty factor there. You know, it's a little bit historic. There may have been one or two rugby results there over the year. I'm not sure. I'll have to have a look and check.
15 years ago, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to check.
Sure. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, sure. Yeah. You have to write into the annals and the records for that one. But yeah, I'm hearing of like completely non-rugby people being drawn in by the cheaper tickets on Hill 16 because of like those factors. And the fact, yeah, that they're cheap, they're affordable, they're properly affordable, and fair play to EPCR. Not often I say this, fair play to EPCR. They actually nailed it. They got the pricing right on this, and yep. It's generating a fair bit of board. Hearing that the Northampton fans are looking for travel in numbers as well. And Northampton, they're not coming to do the Sky Tour. Like they are top of the Premiership, they're going to be coming here to play. Maybe we could organise an historical tour of the grounds for them, maybe an hour before warm up. See how that goes down. But look, if we can get to 60k in the stadium on the day, I'd say that would have been a very successful gate, in my opinion. And either way, it's going to be a hell of an occasion.
Absolutely. Maybe play the Michael Collins movie for them on the way over. That could help them as well. You looking forward to it, Keigo, yourself?
I can't wait. I think the pricing, I think Leo putting a bit of pressure on yesterday, saying don't rip people off, was a masterstroke. It kind of forced their hand a wee bit. So it becomes, you know, when you go to the Aviva, sometimes that is, you know, the night stops because it's so expensive, whereas they're bringing so many people in. Hill 16, 18 euro. You know, that brings out casual Northampton fans are thinking it's not so bad. And then everybody else who kind of gets priced out of Aviva games, they're ready to rock and roll for that kind of price. So fair play to everybody. And it's going to be massive.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. Okay, so let's keep this moving. On Monday, not long after that injury update, we learned that Dan Sheehan had signed not only a new contract, but actually a central one. Now, we're going to touch on the rights and wrongs of that central contract system a bit later, but Keigo, I'm not sure a whole lot has been said yet about the man himself and how he totally deserves this.
Look, the longer he goes without a central contract, the more you worry, because, like, you know, the longer it goes, the more he can name his own price. So, you know, the guy obviously deserves it. He deserves whatever they need to give him. He deserves all of that and more, the job he's done. And he's also pushed that number two position. You look at what Kelleher's doing. Kelleher's really stepping up again as well. And that's because of the job Sheehan's doing. So, like, it's much deserved. And it's great that it's, like, whenever things actually get signed, you get really excited. Like O'Mahony the other week, different jersey, equally as excited before we start fights with our Munster brothers and sisters. You know, but Sheehan being there locked in is a beautiful thing.
Oh, I think those fights are going to happen whether we start them or not. What do you think, Keno?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's hard to overstate how much Dan Sheehan deserves a centre. I mean, like, yes, we'll get into the arguments about stuff and things and shapes of whatnot. But like no one can deny that he deserves a central contract, and it was important to nail him down on one. Because yeah, as Keigo said, his value is only going to go up. I mean, he is into the top try scoring in the Heineken Cup again. Sorry, the Champion Cup. Sorry, yeah, minor sponsor now.
Slash Investec, whatever.
Minor sponsor, yeah. Investec. Yeah, I don't do much investing, so I can't remember their names.
As for Heineken, though, we do quite a bit of Heinekening. So
we do a lot of research into that. Yeah, no problem.
We're happy to take that sponsorship.
Yeah, the Heineken heavy portfolio is just set to take off. But yeah, Sheehan, like, no one can argue the actual contract itself. He's an amazing player for both Leinster and Ireland, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I mean, Keigo said it there when he referenced Ronan Kelleher. I mean, when he came up, we had him a long term. We thought, you know, if you jump forward and said he was the one getting the central contract now, we wouldn't have been surprised. We were giving them nicknames for the front row for Leinster and Ireland with him and Porter and Furlong. And then just along came Dan Sheehan, and just he blew by him. I don't think Kelleher really did anything else. Like, you just more talent came ahead of him, and it's great. It's great to have them both, and it's good to see them locked down. Keigo, yeah.
Can I just say one thing? It shows how good of a signing it is when it's not the thing that other fans are complaining about. So as we're saying, no one is really kind of gone, he doesn't deserve it or anything like that. That's not what's being said this week on social media, which is a cesspool anyway. So I think that shows how great a piece of business it is and how much it's deserved.
Absolutely. Okay, so then we thought we'd more than enough excitement for one Monday. That is until around 5:45 p.m. when the Leinster Rugby Marketing Department asked someone to hold their beer before teasing a 6 o'clock signing announcement, Keno.
Yeah, I hadn't realized Oppenheimer had gone and gotten a job in the Leinster social media department, because, Jesus, what a bomb. Signing, like, it was pretty much out of nowhere. Like, there'd been rumors for a couple of weeks, but, like, rumors of All Black All Stars sign of, like, yeah, okay, yeah, I've heard these ones before. And then, yeah, sabbatical from the All Blacks, 6 month contract with Leinster starting in December. Yeah, he has that link to living in Meath for 18 months in his childhood, when there was only six of them at the time, I think, six kids, and it went up to eight later on. So there's numerous Barretts. It's kind of disgraceful. Only three of them are actually playing for New Zealand at this point. You know, that's less than half. Really should have aimed higher there. The pretty big, like, Jordy Barretts is a pretty big boost to the back line. Frankly, I mean, he covers pretty much 10 through 15. I mean, usually center fullback. But like, to not just international level, but to All Black level. That's insane. I can't remember our backs signing that had that for Leinster that had that much of a CV before now. I mean, Natai, who's been absolutely wonderful for us, you know, he has that one cap, if memory serves. But like this is different gravy. Like his ability to play multiple roles at that level as well is going to make things very flexible for us, especially in that sticky run from the Six Nations through to hopefully knockout rugby time. And you'd imagine he's going to be fairly prominent throughout. And yeah, his experience, his level of experience is going to be massive, especially in those knockout games again. It's really exciting. It's massively exciting. You know, it does kind of bring to mind your Brad Thorns and your Rocky Elsoms and the kind of impact they had on relatively short contracts. And I'm just, to be honest, I'm just as excited to see what kind of impact he has on the young backs, similar to those other short-term contracts, because we all know how they resonated throughout the following years in Leinster, the effect they had on players within their area of effect. So it can only do good things.
Absolutely. Keigo.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the big thing. Yeah, we know what he is and how brilliant he is and all that sort of stuff. But he gets a train, or he gets a train. Absolutely. That phrase is the right way. Week in, week out with Jamie Osborne. You know what I mean? Like all this sort of stuff. And that's like going to college for that kid for 6 months. And like when he leaves, all that knowledge stays. And like, as you say, he covers 10 to 15. So look at all those players, those young players who will be exposed to this World Cup winner. It's a bit like Snyman coming in and playing in that middle of that pack. It spreads everywhere. So I can see why teams would be annoyed with this signing, but for Leinster, it is a masterstroke based on what he's going to leave behind. He will be engaged with everybody. He's not going to be holding anything back. When he's playing European games, it will be a high standard for him. And then, as I said, he gets to pass all this around, all the way from, you know, even Ross Byrne, who is 100 million caps. He's going to learn from Jordy Barrett all the way back to Hugo Keenan, who's going to be learning Frawley, Osborne, all these players. So like it's beyond exciting. It's similar to previous years where we've just got to try and keep calm. You know, it's a different type of calmness we need now. We need to not use Jordy Barrett, but we need to, you know, squeeze as much of the lemon out of him as we can for that 6 months. With all due respect, we love you, Jordy, but
sorry, you're doing need... what to him now?
That's for a different podcast.
There's a new training technique I haven't heard about, like, you know.
It's for my new Heineken sponsored podcast called What Are You Doing, Jordy Barrett? But no, it's good.
Heineken now with lemon.
There you go. But it's ridiculous what he's going to do for the players around him, because I know we've had back rows, we've had second row, things like that, but now we get someone working with the backs every single position. He's going to be leading them around the pitch to the point where they're not going to need any sort of leading. They're going to be monsters in their own right. So it's great. You look at the job Jamie Osborne's done over the last few weeks, throwing Jordy Barrett in on top of that, the experience, what you're going to learn, we keep saying it. It's exciting. This isn't an emergency podcast. This is a celebration.
Yeah. It's emergency for some people, I suppose. But it might get a few rage listens, but we'll see what happens. No, listen, it's a great signing. We always say, a lot of people say about these signings that, it's taking time from other players. But as you say, it's there's two sides to that. They get to spend time with them on the training paddock. They get to spend time with them, like learning from them and all that kind of stuff. Plus, there's the thing that a lot of these people, they want to come to Leinster. And it kind of works both ways, in a sense. So it's great news. And on top of everything else we were hearing on Monday, it was great to hear, you know. And as always, after I'd locked down my running order for this pod, we had even more extra content from Leinster Rugby on Tuesday morning in the form of a farewell letter from Ross Maloney, who's of course off to play for Bath at the end of the season. Check it out on the Leinster site for the whole full thing if you haven't already, but here's just a taste. He says, quote, "I have played for and captained the team I love. I've won trophies and shared priceless memories with great people, with my family and best friends beside me, and I will leave with nothing but fondness for a great club. I will do everything I possibly can to finish my time in Leinster as I started, giving my all for the club I love. Ross." You okay there, guys? You've got something in your
eye. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm crying. There's just something. Something.
I put my lenses in the wrong eyes. That's the problem. I just,
That'll do it. Look, it's very simple. We have to see this guy off with a trophy or two. There's just no other way about it. I mean, that's just it, like, you know?
Yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah. I mean, what a club, man. Like, what is it about second rows that they tend to be the epitome of the club man? You know, they can happen in the front row. They can happen in the back. They can happen in the backs. But the true epitome is almost always second row. And Ross is absolutely the epitome of a club man. Never took a step backwards. Always gave it everything on the crappy, wet, dark days. They were always Wales, were they? I think I might have been. but never took a step backwards. Absolutely the epitome of a club man.
Amen. Absolutely. Okay, listen, that's the nuts and bolts of the news for the past while. But when it comes to the online discourse, many fans from outside Leinster have found a way to, let's say, find a common theme. I'm going to throw this one open, lads, whoever wants to have a cut. Apparently, Leinster always gets absolutely everything, while the other provinces always get absolutely nothing. And, oh yeah, something about a salary cap. Anyone want to help me out?
Well, here, if I get a couple of seconds on that, right? When you're performing as well as Leinster are, you're always going to have arrows shot at you. And you can have ones that are maybe legitimate and some are that are sour grapes. So if you switch the jerseys, as we always say, and Munster are in this position, as they've made signings in the past, various South Africans, things like that, would we be saying the same thing? And I don't think there's supports versus fans. So supporters know, fans are going to give out about everything. I think what Leinster have is organization. I think they have smart business. It's not all about money. It's about what you do with it. And if you take that point alone, and look at what the other provinces are doing, whether it's from paying off a stadium to bringing in signings or anything like that. I know Kitchoff up north is it's bad luck. That's a bad luck signing. But they've done consistently bad business in the other provinces for the most part. Now, not all the way through. I think Connacht are doing smart business, but you look at Munster over the past decade, since the Croke Park game, their business has not been good. And so the level of everything falls off when the business drops off. And you can see they are where they are. And that's not me trying to start a fight again. That's just where we are. And I think Ulster have a bit of bad luck. And I think Connacht are the ones who have a legit grievance with how they're being treated.
Yeah, Keno.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, we can be frank. This announcement broke rugby Twitter. Like it wasn't just the provinces. It was England. It was definitely Wales. Oh, it was most definitely Wales. Don't think I heard much from the Scots, but you know, they're pretty stoic about most things. The French were probably just, you know, tweeting in French. But like the Southern Hemisphere as well, the South African guff, and you know, everyone was giving a bit. The New Zealanders were actually pretty happy for him to get off, to go off and have a secondment and, you know, kind of come back happy. That's all good. That's good business.
Yeah,
that's good business. But I think announcing it the same day as Dan Sheehan's central contract kind of irretrievably linked the two in the minds of some. There was kind of a lack of division between the two things.
Also, right after Leinster were the only team left in Europe. After there was a span of time when, and that it was kind of a perfect storm almost that there's sort of swelled. It's like we had Leinster had enough. That's enough good news for you. You can't have any more. When a lot of these things would have been teed up and flagged on the calendar a long time ago. So I don't know.
I mean, there's more than that as well. Like some of the stuff being thrown around, like you know, kind of Leinster can have as many NIQs as you want. No, this is one for one for Natai is like pretty much 100% at this point. Source of salary, you know, it's like, oh, you know, they took the Dan Sheehan money and they're using it to pay for this. It's like, no, this is a real bang of external money about it. We don't know how the deal came about, but given that the New Zealanders are kind of allowed to have a sabbatical, I'd say there's a chance they kind of, his agent kind of reached out and went, would you be interested if Geordie was available? I'd say that's kind of 80 to 90.
Literally, the stars had to align for something for that to happen. So it's one of those.
Are not reaching out.
No.
To New Zealand rugby, going, have you got me Barrett's going, by the way?
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
It's not Championship Manager, where it's like, you know, these guys are available and you scroll through a list, like, you know.
Yeah. But also, like, and like you kind of saying, oh, you know, it's a luxury sign and they don't need him. Well, it's like, well, I mean, an NIQ signing, it should be someone who fills a position of need. Now, in fairness, we could deal with them during the Six Nations, you know, because we have a number of 10s, 12s, and 15s/23s who are going to be in the Irish camp all at the same time. So, yeah, fair argument then. After that, yeah, in fairness, that's probably about kind of half an argument for that one. But outside of that, you want someone who's a good pro who will add to the environment, is experienced and can help young Irish players, can cover multiple positions, is available when the Irish internationals are away, and can help you win silverware if it's a big money deal. I find it hard to argue against any of those being correct. Mm. So there's one which is like, yeah, that's kind of like fair enough. And plus, 6 months contract means it's going to be slightly less than it could have been if it was a full season. Yeah, I think the real kind of the guts of the actual argument behind this for me is the centre contract distributions.
Mm.
They're absolutely, it's not a perfect system. It was designed to keep players, Irish internationals in the country. And it's done that. Unfortunately, it was never designed to be equitable between the four provinces.
Yeah.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, how much is it a how much is it a function of the IRFU, you know, just deciding where they go? But there's also the influence of offers coming from outside. Yeah. We don't hear about all these things. And if it's the Leinster players that are getting the offers and, it's like, yeah, if you're like, okay, we'll have to keep him. Well, okay, we'll have to keep him. We'll have to, you know, it's a game that it's a lot of plates to keep up in the air to keep the four provinces happy. And, you know, the Irish team is, I'm not sure, but they've been doing relatively well recently. You know, I mean, World Cup aside, you know, they've been doing all right.
Like we just also got to remember, because we have long memories. There are a lot of people who don't. Like way back in the day, there were 3-4 Leinster players in the Ireland squad. If these centralized contracts were around back then, it would be mostly red, because that's the way it was going at that time. So you know, like it will evolve, and it what this does then, it kind of makes the other provinces say, okay, we have to look in the mirror now. We can't just look out the window at our neighbors. We have to figure out what we are doing to help our team, to help our players. And that will slowly increase, slowly get better and better. And then the central contract will start spreading around. You can't turn around and say, we're getting 5 from each province regardless. You can't do a quota here. It's got to be deserving, and it's got to be based on performance and external factors, like you're saying. But this is a big kick in the you know what for the other provinces, where they're, I don't know if their expectations are different to reality. I wish I was 6'2" with a full head of hair. I'm not. So, you know, I've got to accept that, and they have to accept where they are in order to build moving forward. You look at what happened to Munster over the last 10, 12 years. They could have stopped that at any time, but they were looking out the window, not in the mirror. So, you know, I think if we can use this as a starting point and say, right, let's build up from here. Let's not fling you know what at each other. Let's build up, make our own team far more competitive, and knock on the door for these contracts. And if you knock on the door, you'll be told why you don't get it, and you can come back around. It's like any job interview.
Yeah, I mean, Keto mentioned 1-for-1 earlier on. I mean, it just, you look at the, you know, I'm not saying the IRFU is perfect by any means, and I've been critical of them on many, many different issues. But when you're trying to corral four provinces, which are, you know, four branches, but four completely different, I'm going to use the D word, demographics. No, if you're trying to do four different.
Hang on, where's my bingo card? Hang on.
Yeah, you had it there. No, but I mean, it's not going to be easy. You have to, you know, you can't, what one person gets, one province gets, the other three don't automatically get exactly the same thing. It can't work like that. They're, you know, all the other provinces have their issue. Connacht have their new stand, like Munster have those games, those extra games against the Crusaders and that. And Ulster, well, okay, Ulster, they're sorting themselves out, basically. You know, they do have a lot of problems. Well, to be continued, shall we say. But like Kigo said, there's only so much the IRFU can do to do that. And like, you know, and if signings like these come up, you know, it's like, and also, as Kigo said, going back to going back in the day when Munster, when I started this harping on rugby, like Leinster had no stars. And it was a Lions, there was a Lions team picked in 2009. It was almost exclusively Munster side from Ireland. And then that all changed with a Heineken Cup semi-final in Croke Park, which brings us right around full circle to what we've been talking about. And I think we better leave it there on that note. You know, it's almost full circle. We could talk about that for ages, but listen, that's brilliant. We're going to leave it there, lads. Thanks a million. Thanks, Kigo and Kino, for joining me. Thanks, lads. And do keep up with us across all our social media platforms of your choice. And look out for our Lions preview, which should post on Friday. In the meantime, stay safe, everyone. Slán.